know he came here to say, if you afraid, then come on with me. And I know what you came here to do.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Happy Monday, everybody. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in the Berea. The Browns 31-7 winners over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Florida this past Saturday night in the final tune-up of the preseason. Really the dress rehearsal. The starters won't be playing much, if at all, Thursday night in Chicago. So we're going to hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, and also Jim Donovan, the voice of the Cleveland Browns. He'll call us around 2 o'clock. We got a lot of NFL news to get to. You can hear the Mark Shapiro press conference right now if you'd like on KNR2. But before we get into anything, Matt, I know you have a few things you want to say.
I do. And it's for those listeners and those individuals, you know, here in the media. I was reckless with words on Thursday, and I made a comment out of ignorance. And for those people that I offended, I deeply and sincerely apologize. It is not in my nature to say something like that or live that way. I was a frustrated former player. That's what came out in me. And as I said, I dropped the ball. I was reckless and need to get back to being a pro. So I apologize.
And we will move forward with that. Matt, let's talk about guys who were pros, and that's the Cleveland Browns on Saturday night against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 31-7, strong performance in all three phases, special teams, offense, defense. What really stood out to you the most?
What stood out to me the most, and we talked about that on the Dog Pound Report, was the fact that when I always make reference, when what frustrates Browns fans or people here in Northeast Ohio when it comes to the Browns is they look around the league and they see everyone else's first-round draft pick succeeding, and they see other teams winning, and then they internalize that and then look at the Browns and don't understand why we can't compete and why we can't win football games. And I just look at the overall product of what went into Saturday night's football game was, you know, the travel, making it a business trip, the rain, and then going out and having all three phases actively participate in winning that football game and in some cases dominating that football game. My biggest takeaway is if they can play like that, they can win a football game each and every Sunday by putting their best foot forward. So that's my biggest takeaway, is they look like a professional football team that can win in the National Football League on a week-in, week-out basis. And I think the biggest key is, and you made reference to it right before we jumped on air, is the physicality and the playmakers on the defensive side of the ball. If they can execute like that, now we know that was a young offensive line with a very young quarterback.
Sure.
But to manhandle them the way we did and control the game and give our offense opportunities, which is what I've talked about all season, give them more opportunities, turnovers, score on the special teams, which was huge. We can be a good football team and compete with anybody in the NFL.
And what really stood out about it to me was this was the roadmap for what they're trying to do. Now, the ground game wasn't where you still want it to be, but I think one of the things we haven't gotten an opportunity to see is how the Browns are going to run the football in the second halves of games, how they're going to do when this offensive line really has an opportunity to wear teams down and show what they can do. And I think maybe we got a taste of that in that first drive of the second half. Isaiah Crowell started off up 2 yards, then 5 yards for Isaiah Crowell, then 17 yards for Terrence West, then 4 yards for Terrence West. So they carried the ball on that drive four times, and they ran for a grand total of 28 yards. So that was more like what you want to see from this ground game, them being able to pound the football. I thought the physicality, the attitude, the swagger on defense, that's going to be a staple of this team. The blitzing, the ability to get off the field on third downs. They held the Buccaneers to just 4 of 15 on third down conversions. They had, as we said, 6 sacks in this game. That's huge. If you can get to the quarterback that much, disrupt their timing, disrupt their rhythm, make negative plays, holding the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to just 177 yards and just 23 minutes on offense, that's what they want to be, a tough, physically dominant defensive team, and get efficient, safe play from the quarterback, which is what you got. Really didn't throw the ball down the field, but was still 17 to 23 and led 2 scoring drives of over 75 yards.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what I want to see, which we won't see until the regular season gets here now, is the mindset and the mentality of Mike Pettine and these coordinators and how they approach running the football, throwing the football, stopping the run, and so on and so forth in the second half of these football games. Because if you look at and the one thing that sticks out in my mind, you know, the Green Bay Packers and you know at Seattle with an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl, that was a different team from first half to second half, where you were trying to not lose the game, and it's ultimately why you lost the game. And I think, excuse me, because of the you know the playmakers here, and because you want to hang your hat on that great defense, but you still need to move the chains. You still need to possess the football and make plays and extend drives and put your defense in situations, you know, where a team has to go 90-plus yards. So while it's on the players, it's also on the mentality of Mike Pettine and how he approaches those situations, because if we recall as well, last year we held a lot of halftime leads.
Yep.
And ended up losing those football games for whatever reason.
Two years ago as
well. You know, defense doesn't make one play. Or you can't get that one first down, or you can't score any second half points, or you only kick a field goal in the second half, and you lose football games. So to stay not overly aggressive, but to stay aggressive and stay true to who you are is going to win you football games in four quarters. You can't just do it for a half.
Can't do it for a half. And let me ask you this: how important was it to you? Because the offense started off hot. They marched down 80 yards, had the touchdown, and then all of a sudden, it stagnated, and it stagnated badly in that second quarter. How important was it to you to see the offense come out, start the second half with that 78-yard drive, culminating in Josh McCown to big play Garrett Barnett, because that's all he does is make big plays for the touchdown?
It was great, and it's a lot of the reason going into you know the dress rehearsal why I wasn't comfortable with our guys sitting at, you know, with just a half of football. You know, having them go through to get cold at halftime and have to warm their bodies back up and take some of the changes that Flip and O'Neal saw from the first half, allow them the time to coach those up. You know, that touchdown, I'm sure, next time we get down there, it might have been, well, I want to see this route down in the red zone, or I think versus this cover two, this is a route that we should run because of X, Y, and Z. And, of course, they explain it better than I can because I'm not in that room. But I loved it, and I thought, that in itself is something that we as Browns fans should hang our hat on, is their ability to come right out and go right into exactly where they left off. Because so many times you come out, you know, with a quick three and out, and that makes deferring, you know, on the coin flip kind of like make no sense. Because if you do nothing with getting the ball, you know, we get the three and out to start the game, we got the ball right back, and you saw what we did with it. And then yep. You get the ball at halftime, and if you go three and out, it's kind of like a wash. But when you go down the field and ultimately culminating in a touchdown was huge. But even if you get two first downs, three first downs, and the weapon that Andy Lee has become for them, you flip the field and you put the onus back on our defense to make those plays and get another three and out, which, again, puts us back in great field position.
And that's what I believe our defense likes. They like to have those situations where they know they can get after the quarterback. You have to earn the right to rush the passer. Their run defense, first four carries, I think, for Doug Martin, they held him to about a yard.
Yep.
He had the big one. Again, they didn't contain on the edge, and that's something they need to continue to work on. But they did a good job getting after the quarterback. I thought Dez Bryant getting in more one-on-one situations with Danny Shelton next to him has been massive, and he looked like a man playing like a beast.
Yeah.
And he was in there. Two sacks, a tackle for a loss, three quarterback hits. He was fantastic. And this defense now, and you saw as well what I would call the importance of having this great secondary, because you can get pressure because you have great pressure. You can get sacks because your defense is covering effectively. And that's what we saw the first one. Jameis Winston had to pull the ball down. Dez Bryant, Paul Kruger right there.
Yeah, absolutely. The margin for error, or the ability of a quarterback to throw an accurate ball with pressure in their face, is, you know, and you're the stats guy. You know, that's the one thing that you're so great at. It makes so much sense, and why you want to have a pressure up front and have the back end. Because if your back end with the high quality players that we have are covering tighter than other defenses along with pressure, it puts a heck of a lot of pressure on the quarterback to deliver the ball in the right spot on time, you know, to their wide receivers. And that's kind of like the perfect storm of what we're trying to create here defensively. Yep. Is play tight coverage on the back end, that man press, and then have and I mentioned, yes, six sacks is great, but that's not going to happen every week. But
no.
To be disrupting the knockdowns, the quarterback hits, the batted balls, all those things frustrate a quarterback. Having to, you know, an offensive line and have to pull you up off the ground, you know, every other play, that all wears down a quarterback who's makes him unable to make those throws when he has to in tight coverage. So it works into our favor in extremely, you know, in an extremely high way.
It does. And for the preseason now, Josh McCown's going to finish up 29 of 38. That's 76.3% completions.
That's it.
Three touchdowns, two interceptions, and a quarterback rating of 92.8 on the preseason. So a solid bit of work.
Yeah, and sorry to interrupt, but being a numbers guy, can numbers like that multiplied by 16 be winning football?
Yes, it could be winning football. I would want him to be, you know, as long as his touchdowns are outpacing his interceptions right there, being a 1.5 to 1. Yes, it can. The completion percentage is what I like. I think the yards per attempt need to go up from 5.4. I think they got to get around 7. But, you know, he's going to take what the defense gives him, and I'm fine with that. It does. The one thing that concerns me, and we'll talk about, you know, what we take away that were positives and concerning, but I do want to see this team have a little bit more success throwing the football down the field. And we haven't really seen that necessarily from Josh McCown. In fact, his long completion of the entire preseason was 16 yards.
Right.
So you want to see a little bit more verticality, and maybe we're saving that. But the fact is, the guy is incredibly efficient, not only throwing the football, and he was 76% completions, as I said. He was efficient running it as well. He had the 20 yards rushing, picked up 3 first downs with those extra runs against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So the team has shown their ability to go on long drives.
Yes.
We saw it in his first drive against in the very first preseason game. We saw that, and then against Washington, and then we saw 2 long drives again in this one. When you're in a lot of third and fours, it puts pressure on you. I want to see, again, get yourself into third and more manageables. But they've done a very good job taking what the defense gives them, being efficient, keeping the chains moving, and then when they got into the red zone, converting those into touchdowns.
They do. They have. They really have. And that's the one thing that leaves me, you know, cautiously optimistic but reassured to a certain extent, because I almost felt last year at times, as good as Brian Hoyer played at times, because of some of the weapons he had to throw to in many different games, you know, I wasn't so reassured that I kind of would tense up on third down, like, oh, it's like
it was
a full on 50-50 battle. Whereas with Josh McCown, with better weapons, with the fact that he's going to, you know, take what the defense gives him, I'm a little bit more comfortable on third down. I'm not as stressed out. And that is something that was, you know, has always been the Achilles heel for Browns quarterbacks is moving the ball down the field and sustaining drives.
Again, and this is just something, as a stats guy, stands out to me. The 4 leading receivers on the Browns, there are 4 guys with 6 catches or more right now. Travis Benjamin's got 7, Hartline's got 6, Bibbs has 6, and Taylor Gabriel's got 6. Not a single one of them has 60 yards receiving.
Yeah.
Them. Benjamin's got 7 for 55, which is 7.9 yards a catch. Hartline, 6 for 51, which is 8.5 yards a catch. E.J. Bibbs, 6 for 50, which is 8.3 a catch. And Taylor Gabriel, 6 for 47, which is 7.8 a catch.
Yeah.
In fact, if you were to go through it, the only guy that you might think would play with starters at any point this year that's averaging over 10 yards a catch is Rob Housler, who has 3 catches for 32 yards.
Right. And what was Taylor Gabriel was, what, 17.4 yards per reception last year?
He was over 17 last year, 3rd in the NFL. He's at 7 right now. None of those guys, Benjamin, Hartline, or Gabriel, even has a catch of 20 yards on the season. So if you're asking me one thing, because I've been very impressed with Josh McCown so far, his command, his accuracy, the one thing that concerns me is when you play this style, it puts a lot of pressure on you because you're going to be in those third and mids and you're going to have to convert a lot of third downs to have success ultimately on your drives. And that's something I think we've seen so far. They've had their 13 of 40 on the year, which is not a great number, but it's not terrible. But it's just going to put a lot of pressure unless they can get the ground game going on the earlier downs.
Yep.
and hit some plays down the field, which I think, by the way, will open up the ground game.
Yes.
And it will open up some of these shorter passes, give an opportunity for catch-and-run situations.
That's the point that I was just going to make. You know, it seems as if when Josh McCown delivers the ball accurately, it's catch-tackle. You know, so I believe as we continue to dig in and to the game plan of you know, creating that for the New York Jets, it's our ability to create situations to move the chains, but give, you know, how great is Hawkins in the open field? You know, how great is, you know, is Gabriel in space? You know, when he can catch the ball in stride and deliver it that way. Those are the situations that we became accustomed to, you know, with that waggle boot action with Brian Hoyer last year that led to some of those big intermediate chunk plays by getting the wide receivers the football and allowing them to make a guy miss, make a play in space and create those chunk plays, those game-changing plays. And that is the one thing that I'll hang my hat on offensively that I I miss at this point right now. Those big game-changing plays, 25, 35, 50, you know, 50-yard play, you'd love to have those.
Yes.
You know they're few and far between, but you have to have those because otherwise you're playing into the defense's hands.
Right now, Josh McCown is third in the NFL among starting quarterbacks in terms of the lowest air yards per attempt in the preseason. He was at 6.1. The only people below him were Ryan Tannehill at 5.2, surprising, and Theodore at 5.8. So the difference is Theodore is 29 of 34 for 295 yards. So he's still almost averaging 10 yards an attempt. McCown threw, by comparison, 38 passes and has, as we said, 207 yards. Tannehill, 41 passes, 303 yards, 3 touchdowns. So you want to see a little bit more efficiency there. Some other team, you know, some other guys, some other starting quarterbacks. Cam Newton's 11 yards down the field. Tyrod Taylor, who just won the starting job in Buffalo, about 10 yards down the field. So just interesting. I think as the season goes on, you're going to see this team have to open it up and air it out. That's the one thing that it makes me a little concerned right now. But because when people say, where are the playmakers? I think Benjamin's got the speed.
I do, too.
Gabriel does as well. Maybe the Browns are just saving their shots.
I think so, too. And I know we're going to grab our first break here. But if you listen to my conversations with Brian Hartline throughout the building there in Rochester, they're like, we're under control. We're efficient. Don't worry. We're going to be better than so many people think. Dwayne Bowe's comments were public. You know, people are going to sleep on us. We're so much better than people think we are. And so maybe there's some practices, conversations, scheming going on behind closed doors that we're not seeing in these preseason games that lead to an extreme amount of optimism for the guys in the room. And, you know, I'll take it with a grain of salt, but you'll have to show me on the football field each and every Sunday before I start believing it.
Absolutely. When we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850. As the head coach of your Cleveland Browns, Mr. Mike Pettine, strolls through the building here in Berea. He got a little pep in his step right there as he gave us a wave. He's fired up as the team returns to practice today, getting ready for the preseason finale against the Bears. What has you excited coming out of that game? I know there's got to be some positivity. What still has you concerned? What are you looking forward to the most against Chicago? 216-578-0850. Zagura Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.